Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. Jeff Dickerson is brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. And JD joins us now. JD, good morning. 5-1, kid.
Most pumped up Zoom call I have ever been a part of after the games yesterday. I have been on so many of these Zooms, as we all have, for different walks of life and different reasons, professional, personal, all this stuff. And I have never actually seen enthusiasm bleed through Zoom as we saw with Matt Nagy, Nick Foles, and a couple of the other Bears yesterday. Yes, it is not a perfect body of work, guys, as you have discussed all morning. There are still a lot of issues on offense that have to be cleaned up. But they are 5-1, and when you open up 5-1, you have over an 80% chance of making the playoffs, and that was their focus yesterday after that victory.
Jeff, how surprised were you that the Bears were so prolific on third down for once?
Now, it got a little better as the game went on. Mm-hmm. So it was 7-14 was the total tally, which was not quite as good earlier in the game. It was a little better, but let's face it, guys. I mean, we could really pick apart almost everything on offense from the fact that the offensive line is not opening up any holes. They're not blocking well. The pass protection's pretty shaky. The quarterback play was just very average yesterday. I mean, Foles had that interception where he floated that in the coverage that was as bad of a pick as you'll see a NFL quarterback throw. They only ran the ball for, 63 yards, net rushing. They really still can't get Montgomery going. There weren't a lot of explosive plays in the passing game. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. And I think today and tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday is when the Bears are going to really address that and focus on that. But you know what? I can't, Jonathan, sit here and be like, I can't believe that they just didn't want to talk about all the bad stuff after that win yesterday. You know, sports are supposed to be fun. And when you win a game and you go 5-1, it's the NFL, it's okay for them to have a good time. It's okay for Club Dub to get kind of wild. I'm not sure what was going on in Club Dub the way these guys were talking after the game, but that's fine. They've earned that right after winning five games. So third down was a little better. I think the numbers were a tad deceiving. But then, Jonathan, you go through everything else on that list. I mean, only 198 net passing yards. Only turned the ball over once. That was good. They lost time of possession. It really just wasn't it was another very uninspired performance offensively. And you have to wonder, too, if they don't get that takeaway to start the game and Foles makes that nice touchdown pass to Cole Kmet, that takes 7 points off the board, and who knows what happens, right? So there's going to be time for that, and I think Nagy will start today at 12 o'clock expressing, again, some unhappiness over what he saw and the details that were not satisfied and everything. But yesterday, they were just about getting to five wins, feeling good, and that's fine. If you blame them for that, then you don't really understand how sports work, and you don't want to have any fun.
So when you watch the third and two play, and look, if I was coaching the team, would I have run the ball? Yes.
Yeah.
Would Hoodie have run the ball? Yes.
Yeah.
Meller? Yes. Zetterman, Dickerson, Parker Dickerson, we all would have run the ball. I have also been able to finally wrap my brain around the fact that that's not who he is. You're going to get some good and bad with every hire you make. They got an amazing culture up there. Look, they're 5-1. He's 25-13 as the head coach here. He's 5-0 in the NFC for the first time for this franchise in a long, long time. That's 2012. I'm all good with all that. I'm just that's who he is. He's going to do what he's going to do, and I'm going to quit wringing my hands about it. Where are you on that?
Well, on that one, though, you just have to force them to use that last timeout. I just think you have to. You just have to understand the clock. I'm with you. Like, if it's run or pass, and it's going to be pass 8 times out of 10, and that's just who Matt Nagy is, you have to accept that, understand that. But I just thought right there, given that what was going on, I have a hard, unless, now again, we were not getting great detail, guys, into what some of the miscues yesterday, right? Like, we asked Matt Nagy, how do you guys get to delay a game after a timeout? And he didn't want to talk about it. He's, well, it must have been loud in there. That was a joke.
Right.
That was him saying that someone couldn't hear the darn play, and there's no excuse for that because it wasn't too loud in there. So he didn't want to really get specific. Sometimes these plays are sent in with a pass-run option, and it's the quarterback's decision to make that call. I mean, we'll unpack more of that today. I just felt like Cap, given the time and given the timeout situation, I thought running the ball there was a no-brainer, and it was only 2 yards. But again, I mean, the offensive line had not given you a whole lot of reason to believe that they could get you the 2 yards, but I just feel right there. I'm all about the BU, pal. I like that. That's fine. BU. But right there, I think you just got to be smart. And I thought being smart was running the football.
Well, in that case, that was more BO. Nonetheless, let's take a look now at what?
I liked it. Well, I liked it.
Well, Cap's always giving me the look.
He had a chortle in late, so I'm not sure how he felt about that.
He makes me laugh.
I gave you an immediate laugh.
He does the show for me, so I can laugh.
Oh, is that what I do? Oh, is that what I came in here for?
You make me laugh.
Then I'll go home. So JD, how would you characterize Carolina's defense? Because as I take a look at Carolina overall, on the offensive side, boy, it's almost like mirror images of one another.
Yeah.
You know, Carolina's had a hard time, especially in the red zone. They were 1-for-3 in the red zone. They had a hard time moving the football outside of a couple of outstanding splash plays, one of them by Anderson. But what about the defense? What stood out most about the defense against Foles?
Well, they stopped the run. I mean, that's one thing they could not do. Now, look, they were a defense that they didn't stop the run. However, they took the ball away. They got after the quarterback. That's not a bad defense. I thought defensively they pretty much did enough. I mean, you have to give the Carolina defense a kind of a pass on the first sequence of the game when Bridgewater throws that pick and Jalen Johnson bats it up and Tashaun Gibson gives the interception and you take over on the 10-yard line. I mean, that's hard for any defense to withstand that. And they almost forced him to kick a field goal, if not for that really great catch by Cole Kmet, good pass from Nick Foles, as Matt Nagy told us after the game, and Nick Foles told us after the game, that was a play they did not even run during practice last week. And that play just kind of came up, and it worked, and he wasn't the first read Kmet, and he gets his first touchdown. So I didn't think, Jonathan, defensively the Panthers were really that bad. I think two things I noticed about them just in general. Obviously, the early pick threw them off. That really got them out of sorts because they were a mess for a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. Bridgewater took a lot of hits.
He did.
Yep. He took a lot. These were not, hey, design quarterback runs. These were, okay, there's nothing going on. I got to tuck and run. And he was getting belted. He ran the ball 8 times. And he gained almost 50 yards. But I was watching that game being like, if he doesn't stop running, who's the backup in Carolina? Because he might get knocked out of the game. I guarantee you that this morning, Teddy Bridgewater feels awful. Just physically because of the abuse he took yesterday. So he was getting knocked around. He turned the ball over a couple of times. Mike Davis was not ineffective. I don't think that's fair. But he wasn't the effective weapon he'd been for them for the last 3 weeks. You know, I felt that this was going to be a pretty good game. It turned out to be interesting at the end, but I thought Carolina's offense would play a little better because they had done a good job. I mean, Bridgewater had passed for a lot of yards leading into yesterday, only 216, and those receivers have made a lot of plays. I cannot believe how small Robbie Anderson's arms are. Am I the only one that felt that watching that? I know he's been in the league for a while.
That was a hell of a catch.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
But holy cow, is he thin?
Yeah.
Do you see that? Those arms? I'm amazed that he is the player that he is, but he is a good player. DJ Moore's a good player. They just weren't good enough yesterday.
As you look at the trade deadline around the corner, tomorrow, excuse me, that's another dollar.
That's a fine.
What's wrong, is, Cap? Is this just a, well, you're busy.
Tomorrow is promised to no one. You could wake up next year and go, son of a gun, we got how many guys on injured reserve or the injured list?
Yeah.
This year, to this point, they've been blessed with great health other than James Daniels.
Yeah.
Do you think Ryan Pace and his guys will get in a room and go, okay, you know what, we have a chance here with this defense, this health, Nick's, you know, our guy leading. We're going to go out and make a deal for an offensive lineman or a number two receiver. And I'm not asking for Anthony Munoz at age 25, but a solid player that can start. Do you think they do anything?
I thought you were going to say, do they get in the room and ask themselves, can we trade the entire offensive line? And I think probably the answer is no. I don't think you can trade every offensive lineman. Cap, I would say that's not out of the realm of possibilities. I think there are teams right now that are clearly flagging Chicago, and they're done. And they're looking to sell. I mean, the Jets had a – didn't they trade someone yesterday after that game?
Their
nose
guard is going to Tampa.
I mean, that's going to be a fire sale. So, I mean, I would start looking for teams like the Jets, you know, maybe like Atlanta, teams like that that might have some assets they want to unload. Cap, I would certainly not rule that out, because you do make a very astute observation in that they have been incredibly fortunate this year, the Bears. And sometimes it's just your year. We've said that on the show a lot, haven't we?
Yep.
When it's your year, it's just your year. They're not really banged up. Now, not having Eddie Goldman certainly hurt, but losing James Daniels, okay. I mean, the kicker they signed to replace the other guy with the bad groin is 10 for 12.
He's outstanding.
Cairo Santos, I would not give that job back to Eddie Pinheiro.
No chance.
I don't think there's any way they're going to do that. He's going to stay on IR until further notice. But yes, Cap, I think in a long-winded way to answer your question, I think everything has to be explored right now, because at 5-1, they really have put themselves in a position to get to the playoffs. But now the key, guys, is not just getting to the playoffs. It's finding ways to win games in the postseason, which really this franchise has not done a great job of doing.
My friend, how about a 1,000-word column on this? Ready?
On Sid Hartman's passing? He would give you 10,000 words.
I know he would, yes.
His last column was posted yesterday.
I don't want to take away from the Bears talk, but I'll give me like 15 seconds here.
Sure.
I once saw this man, Sid. We were in the old Metrodome, and it was after the Bears. Remember that terrible overtime loss where Trestman had Robbie kick it from like 65 yards, and Robbie's child was born the night before, and he had no sleep. He took a private jet to Minneapolis just to make this game. So this was a crushing loss for the Bears, crushing. And we're standing outside the old Metrodome visitor's locker room. The game had just ended, and they give you, like, you know, the Bears would always take probably more than 10 minutes to open up the locker room. And Sid shuffles in there and tries to barge his way right through the security.
What?
I want to talk to Mark. I want to talk to Mark.
Wait a minute.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? And someone's like, yeah, man, remember Trestman went to Minnesota, so him and Sid are real tight. I'm like, oh, boy. So he's like, all right. So finally they had to like kind of like calm Sid down a little bit. Sid, the game just ended. You can't come in. He's got his old recorder, his old Marantz, you know, the microphone. So he waited for a couple of minutes. Then I think they let Sid come in the side door to get Trestman before everybody else. But
what?
I was like, that's a shot caller right there. He's just going right in to talk to Trestman.
See, that's what you want. When you're an old timer, you have the opportunity to just go right through the door. Pass up all the young people and be like, I want to talk to him.
That's it. I don't want to wait in this
man.
Line. How do these batteries get in my pocket? I didn't steal these batteries. Yes. Yes. So Sid was I didn't know him, but I tell you, I saw that interaction and I said, this guy knows what he wants. He's gonna get it come hell or high water.
Hey, when I get back in basketball and I'm coaching Eastern Washington, you two guys can come to the side door and get in too, okay?
Take that.
Take that.
Take that. I can't wait to see Cap back on for some A-10 basketball.
Me too.
Hey, have a great day, JD.
Guys, wonderful. And some UIC Flames basketball for Jonathan and maybe some Loyola for me. We've got it all covered on this show.
Got it done. Have a great day. Best to
Bye,
Parker.
Guys.
There he is. That's our guy, Jeff Dickerson. All right, Bears fans, is it time to take this team seriously? Do you respect them more today that they're 5-1? 312-332-3776. Bears Monday brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura Dealers.
Take that.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. We're here every weekday, 7 until 10. Hope you had an awesome weekend. Bears did their part for you to get to 5-1. How about we go to Washington, D.C.? What do you think?
Smoke.
Listening on our app.
Yes.
He's Mark. Hey, Mark, what's up? You need some marriage advice, you told Danny?
Yeah, a little bit. But let's talk the important piece first.
All right.
Let's talk the Bears. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm not going to talk about the refs. I think everyone's doing that. We'll talk the offensive line because while Nick Foles didn't get sacked, I'm still trying to figure out why the 31st ranked run defense in the league was able to hold us to under 100 yards rushing by David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. That's just sad.
Well, we don't commit to the run. So, I mean, for 19 carries, you expect more than 58 yards, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it seems like David Montgomery also doesn't know how to get just a good flying start into the line. He's always trying to do something fancy. He's always trying to shuffle left and right to find that hole. Maybe it's because that hole's not there, or maybe it's just David Montgomery's not the guy we need for, you know, a full-throated run game. I'm still not convinced on David Montgomery. And then my only other take other than that for football is, Cole Kmet looked really good in that end zone catch, and Demetrius Harris is just not that good. We need to have Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham out there with a two tight end set a lot more.
Yeah, they would also tell you they love Demetrius Harris as a blocker. And when your offensive line's not great, you need extra help from your tight end.
What's your marriage advice, Mark?
Yeah, so I'm getting married this weekend.
Oh, congrats!
And thank you. And so I was going to ask you both two things. One, what's the biggest piece of advice you can give me for marriage? And two, is it acceptable, because we'll be on our honeymoon on Monday, is it acceptable to watch the Bears on Monday Night Football at my honeymoon?
Yes, it's acceptable.
If there's a TV at your honeymoon, you definitely watch it. If there's a TV available, absolutely. The biggest advice I was always given is don't let the sun go down on your... let the sun go down on your wrath. Is that the
correct
phrase?
Yeah. Never go to bed angry.
Yeah.
Ever. Clear the air.
Clear it beforehand. It's not healthy for you or her.
Because then it festers. You get up, you go to work. Now all of a sudden, a whole day's gone by, and it's not good, man.
Fantastic.
And,
I really appreciate
And remember
that.
This.
I listen all the time. Yeah,
happy wife, happy life. But be you.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. I listen to you all the time. Thanks for the advice, and I'll continue listening, but... thanks for always making my morning a good one out here in D.C.
You're the best. Appreciate you.
Yep. Take.
Yeah, you got to always make sure your wife is taken care of. Like, my wife was carrying the laundry down the stairs. Her parents were sitting there, and I said, Mindy, that is way too heavy a load for you to be carrying. And her mother had a smile on her face. And I went, next time, make two trips.
There you go.
Take that.
That's how that works, yes.
Take that.
I told you David was bad for you.
Exactly. I told you he was chauvinistic. Anyway, go to where you want to go. Where you want to go?
How about Glass City?
Glass City? Where are we going?
That's Toledo, yes.
Yeah. The Glass Bowl. Isn't that what they call the stadium?
Under the T's.
Brandon.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Sparky?
Glass City.
Love listening to you guys. Glass City, what up? Good game, 5-1. Happy Bears Monday.
Yes.
Definitely living it up. I won't say it was the prettiest win, so I'm with you all there. I do see Foles is stepping up. I think Nagy's trying to figure out what he's got in Foles and the weapons he's got with Mooney and the boys out there. I think it's just a bit of a learning curve for everybody right now, getting Foles, keeping him healthy, seeing what his reads are looking like. We got to plug some holes, so get out the Flex Seal can, shake it up, spray it out. But I think we got a good team here, fellas.
Look, I think we have a solid team, but there's going to be a game, whether it's next. And appreciate your call, Brandon. Enjoy Glass City.
Yes.
There's going to be a game where you're going to be like, son of a gun, a tip ball for a touchdown, a kick return for a and you're going to be in a 14-0 hole, and your offense better be able to prove again that it can come back, and it's not against the Falcons or the Lions.
So here's what's interesting. We heard the soundbite from Nick Foles, and Danny said earlier today that he feels strongly about Foles, and he's all for Foles now just based on the press conference. I'm like, hey, we got enough guys around here winning the press conference. Akeem Hicks wins a press conference. Matt Nagy wins a press conference. I need to see the production, brother.
Yeah, the press conference was great. I loved it, but now play. He hadn't been any better than Mitch.
We're the press conference champions of the NFC. There's no doubt about that. But you were swayed by the spoken word.
And you know me. Normally, I believe everyone's full of bleep. I don't trust anything anybody says ever, and that goes to you too as well. I normally don't trust a word that comes out of anyone's mouth.
Come on.
Yesterday, after the game, Nick Foles kind of brought me in as a Bears fan. You know, I wasn't Team Mitch. Cap was Team Mitch. I wasn't Team Mitch. But I felt now, whether the production comes or not on the field, at least we have a guy in the huddle that's a leader. At least we have a guy that can say to Matt Nagy, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're calling here. Let's do something different. He kind of won me over with his leadership skills. And I said to myself as a Bears fan, okay, at least we now have a quarterback that I can stand behind. He's like the unity walk of quarterbacks. Hopefully all Bears fans could get behind Nick Foles now. I'd like to see better production, no doubt about it. But he did win me over with those leadership skills that Mitch didn't seem to have.
Yeah, Mitch had him in the room. He was terrible at the podium. Terrible.
That's overstepping it. Don't say he was terrible.
Okay, he wasn't great.
He was all right.
He was a lot of word salad.
I hear a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of press conferences with quarterbacks. He's right alongside the average of everyone else.
Probably. Maybe.
Yeah, he's just okay. You know, when he did step out and try to do humor, people weren't expecting it because his face was always the same. You know, Mitchie, same face, never changes.
Right.
The smile.
You're gonna deliver the punchline, you got to sell it.
Yeah, right. Right.
Here's where I'll argue with you about Mitch. It seemed as if that before Mitch would sit down at the press conference, the good people up there that work in press relations, media relations, would tell him kind of the agenda for the day, and he would serve that up to the media. He never wanted to go off script or say something that would get him in trouble. Whereas Nick Foles, it seems, sat down yesterday, didn't give a crap what anybody wanted him to say. He said what he felt.
Man, that's the difference of being a Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, and you're like ninth year, and one guy who's just trying to find his way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's go to how about Levi in Elk Grove Village. Hey, Levi.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Appreciate
you, Levi.
I just want to start off one thing real quick. Everybody had a chance to take that nap question. When do you ever say no to a nap? Rule number one: always take a nap if you can.
I agree with that, but you know, Cap's one of these guys that's kind of iffy on the nap. He's not necessarily a nap guy.
I like him. I just always get going doing something.
You know what? If you can learn the art of the power nap, I guarantee it'll make
your
life that much
better. I've done those in the car, 15 minutes at the seat back.
I agree with you, Levi. Look, I mean, doing mornings after being an evening guy for so long, the 30 minute to 45 minute nap, I mean, it's like a new day for me. I love it.
Takes time to get used to the schedule.
Oh, that's no question.
Go ahead, Levi.
All right, we appreciate your thoughts on the nap.
He had
a nap.
Another question.
No, he hadn't thought about the nap.
Yeah, I guess he did.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Where are we going?
Look at your guy Q on the south side. Look at Q.
Q on the south side. Hey, Q, what's up, man?
Hey, Kathy, they heard what's going on this morning.
Sup.
I just wanted to comment on the Bears offensive line. I don't know who or what is drafting these Bears offensive line. And that game yesterday, it's like, oh, my God. Like, how in the hell do the line keep getting blown up by every defensive line that we play? Like, I don't know who's drafting these players or what. But somebody needs to go tell them to block up the field, not go down the field and get blown up. It's ridiculous. And I agree with the last caller about David Montgomery. He's not hitting them holes right. Like I said, he's
what
doing
holes?
Too many fast. Even though I know there ain't no holes being made, but he's doing too many fancy moves and everything to run the ball. I mean, like I said, pick your head up and look at and find a way around the line. It's ridiculous. And I just want to say about the Bears not getting no respect, you know, them being 5-1. I mean, come on, Seahawks, their defense is almost like dead last in pass defense and defense total. I mean, the only reason why.
Q, who's not giving the Bears respect? So guys at the lounge and where? Where? At the lounge?
The whole league. I mean, I watched, you know, all ESPN, First Take, everything. And I said, even with the Bears' eyes, they underdogs in all games. Come on, man.
They were.
Q, thanks, man.
What was it at game time? Still 1.5?
Yeah, I bet the game at 1.5.
I wonder, is there early lines for the next, for the Monday? Is it premature, Jeff?
Or yeah, is there 6.5.
There's a line. The Bears are 6.5 point dogs.
So, whole touchdown.
Yeah.
God. Now Q makes a good point.
Find a way to get to 6-1.
God almighty.
I would love it.
6.5. 6 and a hook. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Buy that up to 7 and a hook and go, all right, game on.
All right.
Anyway. More of your calls. We'll go to London and Plainfield and Denver and Dallas and River North. And we got a bunch. And I want to talk about Cam Newton with you. We got to get into that before we get out of here.
All right, let me change into my suit.
Beautiful.
And my blouse.
There you go.
And my fancy hat.
Fancy hat, exactly. And some bizarre sunglasses and whatever else. A scarf. 312-332-3776.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Phone lines have been hopping all morning long, but I do want to give a shout out to the Cleveland Indians. Why, you ask? Did you guys see the tweet from the Indians this morning? I know Hoodie did. Meller, Zetterman, did you guys see it? Cleveland Indians tweeted, the 3-1 support group meets on Tuesdays, Braves fans.
No.
Such a great tweet.
No.
Got over 8,000 likes. I mean, people are just blowing it up.
The Barves.
Loving it.
Fell short. The Barves fell short against the Dodgers. And Meller's so happy now he doesn't have his Southeastern World Series. No Atlanta, Tampa.
Yeah, I'm a Braves fan, and Rays and Braves was not going to get it done for me.
Rays, Dodgers.
How about that?
Now I'm all in on the Rays.
Yes.
I'm not a Dodger guy. Not at all.
How about the same guy built both those teams?
Andrew Friedman.
Is he better than Theo Epstein?
He's never won a ring. No.
Okay, but he's going to win a ring this year. I mean, he's not might not really win a ring with one of the teams, but his fingerprints is all over that team.
Well, how many guys do they have on the Rays that he brought there? I would love to know.
From what I was reading this weekend, his fingerprints are all over the Rays.
And then how
it's
many?
Just incredible that his two teams are facing off.
Right, and then how many of the guys on the Dodgers were already there when he got there? I'd have to know. He's never won a ring, so no, he's not in Theo's league yet.
You're a Brace fan, Jeff?
No.
Oh.
Do we have to...
That's what he said.
I said I'm a baseball fan.
Oh.
And Braves and Rays was not going to get it done for me. So
yeah.
That's why I'm happy there's a Dodgers-Rays. Should we have to visit Bubba the Love Sponge again?
Am I off that day?
Yeah, hard pass.
Tampa. Tampa Rays talk? No,
I think we're off that day.
Think about, I know we're in Chicago. Think about how good it is to be a Tampa sports fan, though. You've got Tom Brady, you just won a Stanley Cup, and your team's playing for a World Series.
Pretty cool.
Oh, that's great. You need something to happen in Tampa. Otherwise, what do you have?
But then you had the Lakers just won the NBA, and if they win the World Series, they get it. So it's either Tampa or L.A. That's the two spots to be. Danny loves L.A.
Cody Bellinger with the home run. Saw that, and I said, time to go to bed. Got a morning show, because I knew that was over. Bellinger, like Javi, and just like Tim Anderson. You love guys like that. Listen, man, I don't mind baseball looking like the World Baseball Classic.
Correct.
Man, have a freaking ball.
How about when
have a ball.
The Braves had, what, second and third, nobody out.
Yeah.
And they hit into a stupid double play.
Sorry.
And they showed the Dodger dugout, and those guys were going crazy. And I'm like, yes, some life.
Now, listen, I don't mind that because if it's over 162 games and there's excitement like that, it's not every ball club won't have that, but they'll have their own celebration. I have no problem with that.
Agreed.
Baseball doesn't have to be a bunch of toys, you know, toy soldiers out there saying we must play the game the right way.
Correct. Stop.
All right. Like Bellinger just, he admired his home run. I'm like, that's like Baez. That's like Tim Anderson. That's what baseball needs.
Having fun.
If you're having that kind of excitement on for basketball or for football, why can't baseball have that?
Agreed.
Well, we only got to wait for the World Series and the playoffs to get that kind of excitement.
Give it to me all the time.
I'll take it. Give it, put it in my veins, brother.
All right. You want to go to London?
Oh, I'd love to go to London.
We're number one in the afternoons in London, and that's where we find our guy, George. Hey, George, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Victory Monday to you both.
Thank yes, you, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No. Go ahead, George.
Come on, George.
Yep, there it is.
Queen Block
Well, mate,
call.
I was going to say Abbey Road's my favorite Beatles record.
The number one show in the UK is Captain J Hood right here. BTS right around the corner, MVP. How about that, Jeff? How about that? FM chops. I know you're never impressed by what I do, but the FM chops, pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'm always impressed by you, Hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you want to go next?
How about space? Because there he is, Spaceball.
Space, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing, Captain Hoodie?
All good, Space? Man.
Okay.
good, man. Hey, I'm feeling great on this Victory Monday, man. I got two quick things. One, as far as the Bears is concerned, man, I'm feeling more confident with our quarterback situation. I like the fact that Nick Foles is managing the game correctly. You know, he took ownership for making that bad interception. But, you know, I like how his interviews, we're not going to speak about that, but I like how he took the blame for it. And he came back and he made put us in position to win. So, you know, kudos to him, man. I like where we're going. Nagy kind of needs to get out of his way sometimes, but I like the direction that we're heading. Defense, and there was a cool commit spot, and whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great, you know. That. So I can't complain about that, man. We're looking, and people need to take us serious. We're 5-1 now, so definitely. But my second thing was to give you guys a pat on the back, man. You don't hear it enough when you're doing good, and this world needs to do a lot more of that. So I wanted to give you guys a pat on the back. I hear you all the time, Jay Hood, giving the preview for Illinois Media School. You know, you're always going for the advertisement or whatever.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, you know, you thanks to you guys, Captain Jay Hood, you convinced a 33-year-old vet like myself to switch careers, and tomorrow I start my first day on at Illinois Media School in Lombard.
Nice. So, I hope you get a Professor Hood to work with you sometime.
I'll see you in the hallway.
I know, right?
Mr. Ali know, right? will be
It'd
helping
be
you
awesome,
out.
Man.
Hey, man, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
And appreciate your service.
There you go. No problem.
How about that? He's a veteran. Now he's going to go to Illinois Media School. Take that.
You knew he was going to be a broadcast. You know why? Great phone. Just quality phone he's got there, right? Might be a landline. I like that.
Let's get one more in real quick. Pick it.
How about Dallas, Texas?
Jay, what's going on, Sparkles?
Oh. Hey, just wanted to say to you guys, I keep hearing people like Lewis Riddick, who I tremendously respect, by the way, but I keep hearing, oh, the Bears don't have talent. They don't have talent. But these guys, they're here. They aren't going anywhere. We got to play the guy's strength. And, you know, the Eagles have a guy named Travis Fulgham who's out there making plays. So they just get out there and throw him the ball and let him make plays. You know, and, you know, people like Mooney, Miller, these guys have speed. And I keep hearing Maggie say, oh, the timing of this play is off. Then you have him get in the delay of game after a timeout. And I think that's because there's just too many different things going on. Just let these guys get out there to play. We have these guys on the roster. They're not going anywhere. We got to find a way to use their strength to our advantage. And, I mean, I just feel like they're making the game, they're making an athletic game too cerebral. And I just want them to get out there and just let the guys play. And I want to just get you guys' thoughts on that.
So they've got, and appreciate your call, Jay. Have a great day. They've got some guys that I think, look, we don't get to see practice.
Right.
Obviously, Riley Ridley or Javon Wims or Arlington Hambright or any of the guys on the inactive list aren't doing enough in practice to open the eyes, because players and coaches know that guy's playing great in practice. We got to give him a shot. They're obviously not doing what they have to do to get on the field.
I just wish that all with all that speed that the Bears could be able to utilize that. But if they're not good enough at practice and good enough to be in the games, and it's really tough because you haven't solidified a number two or number three receiver yet. And maybe that's not existent in Matt Nagy's world. He knows Robinson's his go-to guy and everything else. Everybody else falls in line. That could be Graham. That could be Miller, someone else. But we still have not solidified a second or third receiver just as of yet. Maybe that second receiver is Jimmy Graham.
Maybe. Maybe it's Cole Kmet.
Maybe it is.
We'll find out. 312-332-3776. I want to talk about some other things around the NFL when we come back. The Patriots losing at home to the Broncos as a double-digit favorite. The Eagles almost roaring back to beat Baltimore. And are the Steelers the best team in the National Football League? We'll get into all of that next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, wanted to go through the NFL a little bit with you. Yesterday, sure. The Patriots fell to 2-3 for the first time since 2001. Can you believe that? Since 2001, they have not started a season 2-3.
I'm not going to make any excuses for the Patriots, but it is Cam Newton coming off of COVID. So who knows if he's ever going to be right.
Okay, so Rex Ryan yesterday after the game. This is WEEI in Boston. Mm-hmm. Rex Ryan is never afraid to speak his mind. Current NFLers did not hold back when he was asked about Cam Newton and the Patriots offense after the 18-12 loss to the Broncos. Man, oh man, this looks like a disaster to me. I never saw that arm talent. He wouldn't snap the football. He's kind of pushing the ball. He wasn't accurate down the field. With Josh McDaniels, I give him so much credit. Early in the season, we saw him be accurate in those deals, but this is scary to me. Look, we all know there's no weapons out there, and the fact we see that highlight where Cam's sitting there waiting, you have to throw the guys open, and unfortunately right now, I don't know if he can be accurate enough or if he even can put enough zip on a football to throw a guy open.
That's him gaslighting the Patriots because he hates the Patriots.
He hates the Patriots.
Because he was the nail and the Patriots were the hammer when he coached. So I totally get it. But here's the one thing again. We didn't know exactly what Cam would be when he was healthy. Coming off the COVID, I don't know how he's going to fare for the rest of the season. So that's one story.
That's one. Okay.
The other story is that I don't mind being wrong on this show. I'm going to be wrong a lot on this show.
No
one's more loud wrong than I was in our predictions about the Vikings. I mean, nobody was more loud wrong, and I'd be glad to tell you. Like, I was so impressed with their offseason, Jeff. Like, their draft, I thought they won the draft. I thought that, yes, they're going to miss a wide receiver talent, but I really like Jefferson out of the draft out of LSU. Mm-hmm. But no one was more loud wrong than me about a ball club that lost to a winless Falcons team yesterday. They lost at the crib 40-23.
They got crushed.
Yeah, that's a bad loss. But
loud wrong.
They're loud. That's the thing, though. Listen, just like I don't believe the Bears are as good as their 5-1 record, the Vikings are not as bad as their 1-5 record. They made a poor decision against the Seahawks in a game that they probably should have won. They could have a very different outlook as well. So you're not going to apologize for your record, but you may have been loud wrong, Hoodie, but this is one where if you watch them, now, yes, they were bad yesterday. Abysmal, a terrible show.
No, they suck. They're a bad football team.
They're not, though.
They are.
They're not. I disagree. Okay. Yesterday, they were horrible. I'll give you that. But you know what? They went to Seattle, and they should have won that game.
Right.
A 5-0 Seattle Seahawks team. They made a poor decision. Going for it on fourth and short, trying to put the game away instead of taking a field goal and putting themselves up 8. But the Vikings are better than their 1-5 record. When the Bears square off against the Vikings, I'm not just going to give
Hold
the Bears that win.
They gave up 43 points in week one. They lost 28-11 to the Colts. They gave up 31 to the Titans. They beat a bad Houston team. They lost bad decision or not, to Seattle. And then they gave up 40 more at home to a winless Falcons team. That is a garbage football team. They may come in and beat the Bears twice.
No.
I'm just telling you, that's a horse crap team. You cannot defend the freaking Vikings.
I just did. They're better than their 1-5 record. Their linebacking crew has been depleted, crushed by injury. So look, fine, they're 1-5. I'm not saying they're good, but this is deceiving when you say they're, you know, just like the Bears record at 5-1 to me is deceiving. They're not as good as that 5-1 record looks on paper.
Okay. Bottom line is they're 5-1. The other one's 1-5. Vikings stink.
Okay.
That's a bad team.
What about the Eagles losing to the Ravens 30-28? You know, yes, I thought that the Eagles would be able to win the division, and they're 1-4-1 now, and the Eagles are now 5-1 on the season.
So I looked at that line. The Eagles were getting 10 and thought, hold on a minute. The Eagles at home are getting 10. I'm not a huge Ravens guy. Their defense is great. Not a huge Lamar Jackson fan. He's okay.
He's pretty good for a running back, right?
I mean, he's not having the best year this year.
I understand.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they get a fairly comfortable lead. Weren't they up like 16 in the fourth quarter? Then I look, I'm like, oh, God, they just scored. They're going for two to tie it. And good job defensively. Hunted down Carson Wentz. But the Eagles are, they're, offensive line is decimated.
Mm-hmm.
But that division they're in, the Rams, who we get on Monday night, and they've got some talent.
Sure.
You know, the Rams' only four wins are against the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see who they beat. Maybe they'll beat the Bears by 100. Maybe they won't. I want us to watch this thing play out. There's so many great storylines.
Yeah, speaking of storylines, by the way, is Garoppolo still garbage?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Garoppolo guy. He played well last night. 100%.
You overstepped last week. You went over the top on Garoppolo.
Top row.
As someone that says, whoa, relax. What about you, pal?
Let's just
see the ebb and flow of the season.
No question.
You went over the top.
I came off the top rope.
Yeah, you. Now, here's the thing. Garoppolo with 268 yards, three touchdowns. He was steady.
Mm-hmm.
He was steady. And a good running game. Now, again, he may not be your flavor. But he's steady.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. We know what awful looks like. Garoppolo's not awful. Steady.
Correct.
In a heavy passing, short passing, running offense.
But I would not want him with his contract of $136 million on my team.
I understand. But he's not the bottom of the barrel. We know what that looks like. He was looking at you, Sam Darnold. That's what the bottom of the barrel. What of the bottom of the barrel looks like, right?
So Sam Darnold, what did he go, fourth in the draft? There were a lot of people that really, really like him.
Mm-hmm.
Would he be a guy you'd give a second chance to?
Sure. It's just like I'd give Mitch a second chance. He'd have to work his way toward it, though.
Correct.
See, that's the thing, though.
Like, if you're the Jets, you got to take Trevor Lawrence in that market? Oh, my God.
See, here it is, Jeff. Once again, right? You see these guys with these prolific numbers in college. And they come to the pros and they get coached by jokes like Adam Gase. What are you supposed to learn there? What are you supposed to learn?
Nothing. No.
Yeah. Adam Gase is awful.
That's awful. I don't know. Everybody who's been involved with Adam Gase leaves and they are more productive than when they were there.
But before he ever got an opportunity in Miami, then to the Jets, people were like, we shouldn't have hired Fox. We should have hired Adam Gase. He's the hottest prospect in the country.
That is true.
Well, yeah, but he was running shotgun with Peyton Manning driving the car. Like, you know what? That paper's over. That turns a lot of offensive coordinators into quote-unquote geniuses when the guy who's calling all the plays is your quarterback. And you know, he got a lot of praise for things that I don't think he was really responsible for.
I can't find it now, but there was some meme from Gase when his last year with Chicago's 21st best offense in the NFL at the time. Like, is that worth hiring a guy to be an NFL coach? And it's gone down ever since. His best time was with the Bears as an offensive coordinator.
Remember his eyes?
I do remember his.
Hey, this hour brought to you by CBDMD. Ah. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD, superior CBD, superior you, get 20% off when you enter the code.
Wow.
That'd be Waddle. We're back to Crosstalk.
What do you mean?
In 2 minutes.
Wow. Maller?